I'm really grateful to be here tonight. I realized after we stopped and started visiting with each other that it's the first time I've been in community and talked about Burma. I've been busy doing a lot of different other than last week. I take that back. I was with a group of women who have a strong sangha in prison. And we talked about what was going on in Burma, and they had no idea. So it's really wonderful to be here and say how sad I feel with that, what's going on there. And I'm wondering a couple of things in line of what I've planned to talk about, how we can weave in this connection and look at what we believe, have faith in. These are words that can be buzzwords for people. Look at what this thing called Buddhism is. Are we Buddhist? Are they Buddhist? Is this a religion? I was just told I was sitting under the cross, and I had never even seen it. I was raised Catholic, and it's like, oh, it is.
It looked like there was a sword. That was the one I was thinking of that. I mean, I knew it was a cross, but it looks like a sword.
It's the sword of Christ. Truly. I mean, it's a symbol.
No, it really is. It looks like it's pointing down to your head.
May it wake me up. A little tap on the head. I'm glad it's not the Zen practice, because they would hit me, or used to in the past. So in talking about the monks, I would imagine that their practice of being Buddhist monks is a religion for them. Buddhism is a world religion. It's one of the major religions. What do you think? Think it's a religion? Does that word have a bit of a, for you, from your past conditioning? It's really interesting if you start to think of things in terms of conditioning. Does it have a religion, have a buzz quality to you? So here are the words we're going to look at in this talk, or this inquiry, actually, on semantics and meaning. You know, words are just words, are just words, are just words. By the time it's out of our mouth, it's past the thought anyway. If you use a naming or a noting practice, how many people use a soft mental note in connecting with the breath or the present moment in formal practice? Some people, sometimes. By the time it's already, by the time the whiff of the naming, it's already passed as the experience. That's interesting. Yet it does connect us right there with what's just passed. What's just passed. And words have big meaning. Semantics have big meaning. So I want to look at religion, belief, Buddhist, faith, spiritual, love, God. Any buzzes?
That's all.
That's all. Religion. Webster. A specific belief and worship involving a code of ethics and a philosophy. What do you think of that definition? You think this what is this practice for you?
Could you read that again?
Okay, I will. Religion. a specific belief and worship involving a code of ethics and a philosophy.
It doesn't have the word community in it.
No, it doesn't. And is that important in this practice for you?
Yeah, for me. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For everyone else? I mean, we're here tonight, right? In community. The triple gem, the Buddha, the Dharma, the Sangha that we chanted, we took refuge in, for those of us who do that. That could be a belief, could it? Part of a religion? Is it a code of ethics? There's a definite code of ethics in Buddhist practice, right?
I don't know, but I mean, it seems like it's so open. Like even if, you know, the Dalai Lama, I don't know, I mean, every book I read is, and there's always like, well, you know, that's what we think, but like he's opening, like people questioning. I don't know, even the worshiping doesn't sound right to me. Mm-hmm. And that whole definition doesn't sound right.
Webster.
It's Webster. Does it not sound right for you in the attunement you have with this practice? Is that what you're saying? Or even the definition of religion?
I don't know. I'm not sure if I relate to Buddhism as a religion. Yeah. Kind of way, so.
Yeah. How many people do
consider Buddhism a religion? Mm-hmm. In the East, sure. I think it is, mm-hmm. very much so. And, but the worshipful aspect of it is not something I found here or that I relate to.
Yeah, it seems like worship pretty much implies that you're worshiping somebody or something, mm-hmm. you know, like a god or a... Mm-hmm. And that's certainly a part of the way lots of people practice Buddhism, and they certainly do a lot of paying respect to the Buddha and Bodhisattvas. But it seems to me that's not, that's kind of a, you shouldn't require religion, something to include that to be a religion, although then you've got to ask what's the difference between a religion and, say, a philosophy or I don't know, a practice of self-improvement or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, is Confucianism a religion?
Is Christianity a religion?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is Judaism a religion?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The last time I was here teaching, it was beautiful. For those of you who were here, we ended, and there had been some little bit of noise out here. And when we left, there was a whole ceremony going on with candles in, it was the first night of Rosh Hashanah, right? The first night? It was very beautiful. So, is Judaism a religion? Is it a cultural system? Yeah.
Yes. I've been told that most of the Buddhists in the world are Pure Land Buddhists, which is a branch of the Mahayana, and, they basically believe, I was at Tassajara and there was a Pure Land Buddhist there and he gave talks in the evening. And he's basically what the Pure Land Buddhism that he presented was, is that you accept Buddha as your Lord and Savior.
Oh.
And he said it is more akin to Christianity than it is to like the Western Buddhism that we find here. So it's very difficult to talk about Buddhism and put it all together. Mm-hmm. And I no longer resist the religious term anymore. I mean, I used to push away from it, but it's not even important to me. It's the whole thing about being an anathema to yourself. That's what I think is so beautiful about it.
Mm-hmm. Seems to me recently the argument usually is between the word religion and spirituality. Mm-hmm. Religion usually is connected to the hierarchy of a church or some such institution, and when it's become a little institutionalized. And the Webster Dictionary feels very
narrow,
general for me, and sparse, and
And spirituality?
Spirituality feel general and spiritual?
What does that feel like to you?
Touches a different place in me, that I don't get it mixed up with the church structures.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives a little more freedom of conception, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a definition for spirituality?
No, not really. I mean, those definitions drive me nuts in some ways because they kind of pin it all down.
They pin it all down.
The words instead of the totality. I had trouble in Buddhism with the word emptiness. I've been forever. And when I came up with the word spaciousness, it was easier.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized, I kept saying, what's happening? The emptiness for me has elements in my semantics of negativity,
mm-hmm,
that was getting in my way of using it. So it's just a...
That's why we're talking about this. Semantics get in the way of coming right down to the heart of things. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And yet, there is a code of ethics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The precepts, following the precepts, but they aren't thou shalt nots. Sometimes it's very interesting to hear how they're interpreted. The training precept. I undertake the training precept to move towards. And code of ethics, and what was the last part of that? Philosophy? Is this practice a philosophy? Yes.
It comes with a, or it's associated with a philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to me. I don't know that sort of the buying into the philosophy, it's not like you have to say, I buy that philosophy in order to do the practice. I mean, you know, Buddha said, just do the practice and see what happens. See for yourself. You don't have to accept a whole bunch of assertions about the way the world is or what existence is or any of that. But
mm-hmm.
It does. There certainly is a one associated with Buddhism. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm. And there's encouragement to question. I can remember being a little kid, and my aunt used to teach Sunday school, and she came back and she said that she had a question that was big for her. But this little kid said, if she was Catholic, if God is everywhere, is he in hell? I like that question. I like that question a lot.
Oh, man.
Well, that's what you
Well, you better. You know, I've also heard. It's a little different, but I've also heard Christopher Titmus say that, as a teacher, that there's really only two things possible. It is either love or fear. And it's like, I don't think so. I don't think so. It's the same thing. If God is everywhere, is he a little different? It's a little different, I must admit. Is he in hell? Well, if fear would be somewhat hellish, would you say, of the way we think of it? You know, and boy, love can hold him.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's the experience I've had, you know. Somebody didn't tell me that. It's the experience. Yet, over and over, as a kid, we were told to not question. You know, you don't question, you take it on faith. You believe this to be true. So Sylvia Boorstein says that she thinks of the word religion as re-ligament. I like that. She said, and the best religions realign the heart. I really like that. And I also heard, because the last time I was here with the ceremony, the ritual going on, of that this was a period of atonement in the Jewish religion, the Jewish faith. Now, see, even getting words, you know, religion, faith, yes? And then I was with a group of women who said, well, the word atonement is at-one-ment. And it's like, okay. So here we hear words, and they are different. Alone, all one. Very different. Alone could be something that's part of that word emptiness. For some people, that there's that part of that that's separate, perhaps. Spaciousness, yet emptiness, and form. Here we are in a body, but boy, the minute you put a word on it, the experience is gone. So we are in a body, yes? Right? Ow. Ow. It's gone. Gone. Fleeting. So religion. Community. Re-ligament, how about community? Community, sangha. How about putting Humpty Dumpty back together again? Realignment. Re-ligament. It's a different way of looking at it. Just a word.
It seems to me that Jewish religion, I wish I knew that more exactly, they have something about putting the fragments back together.
Tikkun.
That word, always an image that always fascinated me.
Repairing the world or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, I always saw those pieces. Coming.
Actually, algebra means the same thing.
Algebra?
Algebra, the idea of putting pieces together.
Oh, that's interesting.
So
I was going to say algebra. Uh-huh. Algebra.
Yeah.
Math is a religion to a lot of people, too.
Yes, it is.
Well, there are rules.
Yeah.
Einstein was a very ethical, spiritual guy.
Yeah.
I think the more he saw the order of the universe, and he couldn't help but be in awe and become spiritual.
What about the word spiritual? What is that?
Interesting topic. Last night, our Kalyanamitta group dealt specifically with spirituality. Anki led us in a discussion born of three questions that she had sent out 2 weeks prior. That how did we come to a spiritual path? What works for us in terms of engaging that spiritual path? And what do we see going forward on the spiritual path? So the discussion was very enjoyable last night. It started off with what is spiritual and how do we resonate with that word. And, Richard Walsh, I think, wrote a book.
Roger Walsh.
In his book, he pointed out 7 traits that are common to all the world's religions. Mm-hmm. And she mentioned that they all deal with the same things. I'm intrigued to look at the book. I haven't seen anything about it before. But the idea of what is spirituality was discussed very vigorously among us and enjoyably. And, there is that question of how is it different from religion?
Mm-hmm.
And
how does it for you?
Well, what I came to after thinking about it after the meeting as well as in the discussion was that to me spirituality is really how do I engage with the unknowable? And th- this path that Buddha teaches is one of identifying what's really knowable. Meditation is about coming to an awakening of the true nature of reality. Beyond that, there are things that are unknowable, and Buddha even says it's the imponderables. What happened before consciousness is an imponderable, and unraveling karma is also imponderable. So those are unknowable things, and it seems to me that most religions have some mythology that they make up and ask you to believe to answer the unknowable. But if it's unknowable, why bother trying to answer it?
Why bother trying to answer?
Because we want to know.
It can be such a driving desire.
And that's worth looking at and seeing that that's part of our nature, is that we want to convince ourselves that in the future things will be better. The afterlife.
Or it's rebirth, or is what? Maybe it'll come in here. Okay, how about spiritual? These are Webster, okay? Originally regarded as inherent in breath, or is infused by a deity, life principle. Curious, isn't it? Breathing. How about breathing? Air. Spiritual. Spirituality. Sacred. Devotional. Got to get those words in, huh? Devotional. I've often thought about the breath as this spiritual component. You know, everybody says there's nothing magical about the breath unless you don't have it. And, but it's just an anchor to help us to be more present. That's why we come back to it. It's knowable, it's pretty rounded, in and out, in and out. So it's something that's pretty consistent. It could be the heartbeat, that's pretty consistent too, but it's something that's kind of stable. It's pretty interesting when you think about it, isn't it? You ever think about the breath?
Totally.
Yeah.
My yoga instructor says, who's the breather? You know, are we breathing or are we being breathed?
Have you ever played with it? I've played with the breath a bit. It's very different to let the breath breathe the body than to breathe. I've spent a lot of time breathing, you know, with struggle. And to look at that, the depth of that, was very illuminating. There was someone I know who said, she was a minister, Unitarian minister, who have quite incredible practices. She said that she thinks of the breath as this word, Yahweh, 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 which is the word for God. And she realized that she could die with God on her breath. She was in awe that it said that when Gandhi died, he died saying Ram, Ram, Ram. I mean, shot. That he went right there to Ram, to God.
Practice.
Yeah. So what is that then? Ram. God. What is that? For you. No thoughts on the subject? Has anyone ever thought about God?
I'm actually not
going
to talk about God.
Okay.
Maybe later. But I'm going to talk about the word spiritual and spirit because two thoughts have come up since you were talking about it. The first one is, I'm currently reading Ron Dass's book, Still Here, in which he talks about the soul, which I think of as kind of the same as spirit, as being that piece of us that yearns to be reunited with God. Mm-hmm. And so that sort of recapitulates what we were talking about, Yahweh dying with the word of God on the breath, and what Gandhi did, where he was, you know, having that yearning so much to be reunited with God that he died with that on his lips. So that being one definition of spirit, that it's that piece of us that has this yearning to be reunited with something greater than ourselves. And then, but then your definition from Webster being really that spirit is what gives us life, that it's the infusion of the life principle in this flesh. And so just thinking of spirit as both kind of the immanent being life in flesh manifest and the transcendent and the flow back and forth between those two sorts of principles. Mm. So I just wanted to bring that up.
The immanent and the transcendent.
Yeah. Mm.
So what does that mean to you?
Well,
it's very provocative.
Now I'm thinking of the article by Ken Wilber called Right Bucks. I don't know if anybody's ever read that. It's an article about the practice of Dana, but that's kind of a sidelight to my point here, which is that the article recapitulates human history in a very brief fashion in relation to its spiritual evolution tied to its economic evolution. And so we've got human history, and we've got people first being hunters and gatherers, then being agriculturalists, then moving into the industrial age, information age, and so on. And he links that to each phase of religious development, where it was first, you know, really magical, and then it became, now I may be getting the parts mixed up here, but then it became the transcendent view, which is sort of the theistic religions that you have to first it became immanent, the immanent view that everything is sacred. So it's the sort of Mother Earth kind of religions, and that everything is sacred, that there's the gem of God contained within everything, or the gem of the sacred, and so life is to be worshipped and kept in harmony with, and all that. And then there's the transcendent view that, you know, that this is all evil, way oversimplifying here, obviously, but, and it's to be, that this life is to be transcended for the realms beyond this life, or the afterlife, or whatever. And that now we're moving into the dualistic view of looking beyond those dualisms and seeing both.
You mean the non-dualistic view?
Yeah, the non-dualistic view. That looking beyond the dualism, seeing both the immanent and the transcendent, and bringing them together.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that was triggered by the word spiritual.
Yeah. So what if Humpty Dumpty isn't broken?
Yeah, exactly.
What if Humpty Dumpty isn't broken? I've often thought about this practice as bringing Humpty Dumpty back together again, and I've rethought that. Because there's nothing broken. The ligament implies there's something wrong here. When this practice is look inside and see. Look inside. Uncover what's here already, what's just covered. Yes, you believe this? Believer? Does that resonate with you? Isn't it interesting what words do? Mm-hmm. It's hard to say that almost. Do you believe that? Have you experienced that? How about that?
Yeah. It's funny, with the God thing, I have
two boys that are 4.5 and 7. And they keep asking me, the older one, if I believe in God. And I have to say, to tell him no, because I don't, according to, I don't know, like this, the sitting and everything for me is still in the process of throwing off like a whole bunch of stuff. And I was brought up Catholic, and I can't say that I do. And then a lot of people are like, oh, just God is everywhere, or you can just kind of take whatever meaning you have. But like, I'm like, what the hell? Like, do I have to make up something that I can believe in? I don't think I do. I'm just trying to be in reality. But that doesn't seem like a great thing to say to my 7-year-old. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. So I do tell him no, but.
Maybe you can add what you do.
Yeah.
Experience is truth.
But is that God? I mean, he's asking it. That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. I'm getting caught up in the semantics, too.
Yeah.
And all these buzzwords, and then New Age versus this,
yeah.
And are you a Buddhist? And I'm just like, I don't even want to talk about it, because it's so... You know, people have their own things that they bring, and it's not really important to me to have all the categories. So,
mm-hmm.
But then my kids are making me, are pushing me.
Yeah.
You can introduce
them. I wonder. I was thinking, I used to never, well, I guess it's the Judy probably did not refer to God ever with a word. I was just thinking how you could help in terms of your son. And for me, I think words get us caught up and separated and put in little categories and say,
we're dressed in what he means by God.
Yeah. So it's kind of like one. Or if you go outside on some of those mornings and you get that sense of, well, it's a breath again, but wonder and awe, for me that is, quote, the unspeakable around God. But maybe for him, it might make some sense to... However you would word your story for him that way. At least it would be an answer that would kind of be in, put some of them just know when it's stuck.
Deb's mention of Ram Dass's expression of the soul as being that part of us that longs to connect with the divine or with God. That I think of as part, very clearly revealed in Buddhist teachings, or particularly anatta, or no self. And that the notion of the God being outside of us is part of our delusion of being a self.
Mm.
If we awaken to the fact that we are already connected in as entirely and completely as possible to all of life, we realize we are part of God, that is God. That we're not, I mean, our delusion of self is what's keeping us apart from the whole. And awakening to that lets us know that everybody's joy and everybody's pain is ours, as our joys and pain belong to everybody else. And that's something that in meditation you can see for yourself and know a truth for yourself. Nobody else can tell it to you so that you understand it and embrace it. Whereas the notion of God is described differently by every religion, somewhat minutely differently. They have different names and shapes and colors and sizes and locations. And there's no real way to confirm or deny those descriptions. But if you, in meditation, strive to awaken to what you can know that the self is really a delusion.
Mm-hmm. So there is religion in everything around us, a calm and holy religion, in the unbreathing things in nature, It is a meek and blessed influence, stealing in, as it were, unaware upon the heart. It comes quickly and without excitement. It has no terror, no gloom. It does not rouse up the passions. It is untrammeled by creeds. It is written on the arched sky. It looks out from every star. It is on the sailing cloud and in the invisible wind. It is among the hills and valleys of the earth, where the shrubless mountaintop pierces the thin atmosphere of eternal winter, or where the mighty forest fluctuates before the strong wind, with its dark waves of green foliage. It is spread out like a legible language upon the broad face of an unsleeping ocean. It is the poetry of nature. It is that which uplifts the spirit within us and which opens to our imagination a world of spiritual beauty and holiness. Whole, health, heal, whole, holy.
Health.
Health, heal, whole, holy. Same thing. Just a different look at it. Just a little different. Holy can be a whole. That one feels better. I like this one. I like this nature. Dharma. Truth. Kids can get us. I'm thinking about my grandson who said, I've said this here before, he said one time, you know, Nani, rebirth isn't real. It's like, I didn't talk to him about it, I promise. And he said, well, why, Nick? And he was six at the time. He said, because Nanny died when I was three and she hasn't come back yet. He also said one time in the car, the back seat, you ever think of death, Nani? It's like, yeah. Yeah, definitely. And do you, Nick? And he said, yeah. I said, what do you think? And he said, how do you feel? And he said, it makes me feel powerful. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, powerful. I said, oh, because you're alive now? Yeah. He gets it big time. Big time. I was with someone last night at the end of a mindfulness-based stress reduction class, fifth meeting, and this person came up very upset at the end of the class, very upset. He has a neurological dis-ease, and The class was checking in midway about where they were in the practice. And he was upset. He said, this is stupid. It's exactly what he said to me. This is stupid. And I'm going like, I couldn't quite understand. Really, it was hard for me to understand. He was so upset that the words weren't really coming out. And he said, they don't know they're going to die. You know, they don't know. And talking about not having enough time. You know, it's like, it's very moving to me. God, what do you say to your kid? The truth. Your truth. I mean, you don't want to lie. And let him look. You know, look. Let him look.
I think we have less than 5 minutes that we need to be out of here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I'm sorry to get my second watch.
Sorry.
I just think semantics is a big thing that I should look at because I am like revulsed by a lot of words.
So that's why I brought it up, to just see this reactivity inside and to note it. That's how we start to wake up. You see and you note it. And you open the heart even to this. Both wolves. So let's say goodbye by sitting. may the merit, the positive energy from tonight's practice together benefit all beings that are suffering, specifically and universally. May we find peace in our hearts. May the world remember peace. May we find peace in our hearts. May the world remember peace. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.